Good morning. We're glad you're here. I can't explain it, but the last several times I've gotten up here, I wanted to say good evening. I don't know why. Maybe come back tonight. Maybe that's what it is. We'd love to have you. It's been announced about the lectureship at C Street. On occasion, they asked me to speak, and I'm always glad to go down there. This week, I'm supposed to speak on Thursday evening. I think about every time that I've ever spoken down there, I've always preached it here first, okay? So if you go down, it'll be to support Elizabeth and the good congregation and the brethren there. But I like to go over it to begin with here with State Street. And I want you to know that some sermons are not preached in 30 minutes, all right? This sermon will have to be preached here this morning and tonight. At C Street, I will have about 50 minutes. And I figure it's going to be my last time to speak at C Street because it's going to take about 60. But some sermons do that. Some sermons take a little longer. So because of my love and care for you, we're going to split it up. But at Elizabeth, then we'll have to cover it all at one time. If you have your Bible with you, and I hope you do, I ask you to turn to Daniel chapter 6. And the lesson is entitled Preparing for the Lion's Den. And that's, I believe, the subject that they gave to me, how to prepare for the lion's den. Well, I don't think any of us are going to be thrown into a den of lions. If you've ever gone to the zoo, or I noticed this past week, I saw some commercial or something where they had one of those, a lion, the male lion, with all the mane. They are so strong. They are so powerful. I really can't put myself in the position thinking what it would be like to be put in a lion's den. But, on the other hand, life can be pretty difficult at times, can it not? You younger people, some of you have had some difficult times, more than probably most. But we can assure you that the general rule is as you get a little bit older, you will have more lion's dens to face, okay? And you will have more difficulties, but this could come upon any of us at any time. So I would understand that by assigning this subject, they wanted me to say some things as we study about Daniel that will help us to face whatever trial, whatever difficulty that we might have in life. That's saying a lot, isn't it? I'm certain that you are acquainted with many of the people, at least some of the people that are on the list. And you've heard time and time again about the trials that people are going through. We have some here this morning that have not been able to come for some time, and they've been going through great trials, and we are glad they're here. We want to begin by kind of a very short picture of Daniel and his character. And when I say short or brief, it would be very easy for us to have 24 lessons in a row on the book of Daniel. We're studying this one chapter, and you see his personality in every chapter. So we'll just touch upon it, some of these things. And these are things, in my judgment, that will help us when we have to face the lion's den. Number one, Daniel never stopped praying. the children of Israel had been carried into Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah had foretold it in Jeremiah chapter 25 and Jeremiah chapter 29. God pinpointed the 70 years. And I will say this, because the Bible says this, that that has never happened ever before. Never ever happened that an entire nation was taken into captivity for a specific period of time. And when that period of time came, they were released from their captivity. Now, you could read the Bible 1,000 times and maybe not think about that, but things like that do not happen. They have not happened. They are not going to happen. This was a work of God with His people. If I were to have a debate with an infidel, if I could remember it, that would certainly be one of the major arguments. They can't answer that. You're not going to find something like this in history. And the thing about it is that they know that it happened. Historians know that the children of Israel were in captivity, just like historians know that they came out of Egypt and went into the land of Canaan. These things you can't argue against. These are facts. But he never stopped praying. In my judgment, sometimes you may get discouraged, you may get weak, maybe because you're not feeling well, but I would encourage everyone, do not stop praying. And Brother Tom taught us not too long ago, seems like we've covered a lot of material, and I like the way Brother Tom teaches, and he talked about Solomon when he was dedicating the temple. And he told them that when they were in another land, or when they were being besieged, or had great battles, whatever the situation, he told them if they would pray toward Jerusalem, and if they were in a far country, pray toward Jerusalem, and God, when they confessed their sin, when they repented, when they turned and gave their hearts wholly to God, God would hear their prayer, and He would answer that prayer. And Daniel knew about that. And Daniel had his windows open every day. And every day he prayed 3 times to God. I'm certain he prayed other times, but specifically 3 times to God facing Jerusalem. So never stop praying. I would encourage you later on to read chapter 9. This will be the danger at C Street as well. But if you read chapter 9, Daniel, by reading the book of Jeremiah, concluded that 70 years had come. It was about that time. And so he confessed his sin and the sins of the people and before God and prayed about this subject. And the Bible teaches in that chapter that God caused Gabriel to fly swiftly, and God sent him at the beginning of Daniel's prayer. He didn't wait until he finished. He was on his way at the beginning of Daniel's prayer. So Daniel always prayed to God. And number 2, he completely trusted in God. And all of us can do that. As far as I know, we are doing that by God's grace. I love Brother Tom's comments. If we see we're slacking in something, try to improve. Something maybe we've left out, try to do. But he completely trusted in God with all of his heart, and that's everybody can do that. You don't have to be a Daniel to trust in God with all of your heart. And then Daniel had a persevering, I'm going to call it persevering determination. You could also call it dedication. But he had this determination that he was going to do what God said do, regardless of what anyone else did. We read about that in chapter 1, that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel purposed in his heart. He was determined to do what God said. They wanted him to eat all these foods, you know. You're going to have to really look good as you appear before the king, and you're going to have to eat all these foods that we've got. And there's so many of them the Gentiles ate, and people ate that they were not able to eat of those foods. And he said, he, in essence, in a nice and a wise way, said no and talked to the prince of the eunuchs. And they prayed about it. He and his friend, we call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they prayed about it. So there's the prayers. There's the prayers again throughout the whole book, Daniel's praying. Daniel had a flawless work ethic. That's the way I'm going to call it. He approached his work that he's going to be diligent, and he's going to do his work the very best that he could. And the Bible teaches in Daniel chapter 6 that they couldn't find any flaw. Well, that's unusual, isn't it? And you know they looked. It's in the chapter. We'll read about it, but that might be a little, I don't know how far we'll get this morning. But he had a flawless work ethic. That just from a lot of diligence. Some of you are in business. Some of you have been in business. Some of you work for businesses. Some of you work for yourself, and you have people that work with you. Wouldn't you love to have somebody that always did what they're supposed to do all the time and was diligent about it? That's unusual. But he had a flawless work ethic. And then number 5, Daniel had the ability to capture, I didn't know how else to word this, but he had the ability, I'd say the character, the disposition to capture the affection and respect of reasonable people. Now we need to point out that he couldn't do that with some people. You had evil people. Evil people would not care much for Daniel. He'd have enemies, just like Jesus had enemies. Jesus had enemies, and the Bible teaches in John 15 and 25 that they hated him without a cause. They didn't even have a reason to hate Jesus. And the only reason they would hate Daniel, because they plotted to kill him, is because he was a good man. They were envious of him. Doesn't use that word. I know they were envious of him, just like they were envious of Christ. He was just a good man. I've got two sons that are in business, working for business people in, I would say, pretty prominent positions, two of my sons. And I've told them both, there are going to be people, because you do your job right, that will be envious of you. They will be envious of you. So, but Daniel had the ability, like with Nebuchadnezzar, I don't have any doubt, he became a close friend of Nebuchadnezzar. And Darius, it didn't take long for Darius, the Mede, to understand that he was a great man. This is, he, in my judgment, had a great affection for Daniel very soon. But by then, I don't have any doubt that Daniel's name was well known. A man with his wisdom and his character, those things are not hidden. Those things would go throughout the kingdoms, the other kingdoms. What he did in the Babylonian Empire, and then what he would do in the Mede and the Persian Empire. So he had a way of being reason, of having the affection of reasonable people. We mentioned in chapter 1 that with the prince of the eunuchs, he found favor. And then number 6, Daniel had a faith to stop the mouths of lions. The Bible teaches in Hebrews, we'll get to it when we get to it this evening, Lord willing, but I will tell you now that he had the faith, and it was because of his faith that the lions' mouths were stopped. And I have another word I add to this since I have typed, Charlotte typed out the outline, courage. Faith gives you courage. The more faith you have, the more courage you have. So because of this faith and this courage, the mouths of the lions were stopped. We can apply that to our lives. And so we have this summary, number 7. In a nutshell, Daniel was like Noah and Job. He was a righteous man. Matter of fact, the Bible says that in Ezekiel chapter 14. And I have my Bible open here. I will read it to you. He says it 4 times in the same chapter. When I first started studying it, because I'm breaking in a new Bible, I didn't have it marked, and I saw 2 times. Later on, I went back and I saw a 3rd time. And last night, 3:00 in the morning, I found out it's in there 4 times. So it pays, brethren, to review and study your work. It pays to be careful. And here's what it says in Daniel, or Ezekiel 14:14. And he's talking about these wicked people in Israel and the wicked people in Babylonian captivity. You would think that some of them had been carried away captive. At the time we're reading about, the temple had not been destroyed yet. Daniel was a young man. He was a young man when this was said. Though these 3 men, now listen, Noah, Daniel, and Job. How would you like to be in a list with Noah and Job, huh? And Daniel's a young man when this is written. You remember, maybe you remember Ezekiel, he had been carried into captivity, and he preached to the people out in the countryside, especially by the river Kibar. Daniel, not always, but mostly, he's in the palace. So you've got these prophets, and they're preaching to the people right there as well, and some of them in captivity still had idols in their heart. Matter of fact, in this chapter, they came to inquire of the prophet. You know what he told them? I'm going to summarize it. He said, first of all, God said, you're going to inquire of me? And you have these idols in your heart, and you've come to my prophet, and you're going to inquire of me? He said, they're going to be cut off. Anybody comes to see this prophet, you're going to be cut off. That means you're going to die. How many of you think went to see Ezekiel after that? Because they would die. God's serious. But he said, these 3 men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it. And in it is in the land of Israel. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. As great as these men were, he said, they're so wicked, so steeped in sin that they couldn't save anybody else, just themselves. And then in verse 16, he doesn't mention the names, but for the second time, though these 3 men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, if you don't realize that, Lord God, that's an oath. That's an oath. As I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. So if they had sons or daughters, they wouldn't deliver them. I'm convinced that Daniel was a eunuch, probably, because that's what they did. And he was under the prince of the eunuchs. I think you understand about that. But if they had sons or daughters, not a one of them would be saved. Isn't that something? And then in verse 18, though these 3 men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Just a little slightly different. And then he comes back for the 4th time in verse 20. And he mentions the names again. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither, and this is interesting, son nor daughter. Now it's in the singular number. And the reason I say that is because God's saying the same thing, and he's using other words. The Bible teaches Jesus is going to come back in a cloud, because he went away in a cloud. But it also teaches when he comes back, it'll be in the clouds, plural. Well, if you got clouds, you've got a cloud, don't you? So the Bible often uses interchangeably the plural and the singular. So here's the singular. Neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls. So that tells us how great the prophet Daniel was. Now, to introduce this, there's in the Bible, in Daniel chapter 5, we have the overthrow of Babylon in one night. That is a rather amazing thing. You could drive four chariots across the top of the Babylonian wall. Four chariots by each other. That's how great this wall was. And it was overthrown. And the last two verses of that chapter, Daniel 5:30 and 31, it says, "In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old." About 62 years old. Some of you young people out there are just 62, right? We have some out there, shake your head if you're just 62. Dean, you're 62 yet? No, not yet. They don't think they died. These critics of the book of Daniel don't think... Excuse me, this Darius lived. Well, you know he did. He's just not called by that name. We won't go into that. That brings us to our last portion of Daniel's character. In Psalm 119, and I'm convinced you could take any portion, it's divided up into 22 portions, 8 verses each. And each one of them in the Hebrew scriptures begins with a letter in the alphabet. And it starts with their A, Alpha, and goes all the way to the end of the alphabet. And actually it's Aleph. Alpha would be Greek. But Aleph goes all the way to the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's called an alphabetical psalm. Wouldn't that be hard to do that? And almost every one of them deals in some form, some fashion with the commandments or the precepts, the testimonies, the Word of God. Almost every one of them. And I just thought some of these, in my judgment, would describe Daniel. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." I am thoroughly convinced that he had a copy of the scriptures. He cites the law of Moses throughout the book at different times. And he cites the book of Jeremiah. And if there was anybody that, in my judgment, would have the authority and the power to have a copy of the scriptures at that time, I'd have to say it was Daniel. There's no telling how many times he had studied those verses. "They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." I can just see that that's the kind of character that Daniel had. He had respect for God's commandments, respect for his word. He is diligent about doing what God wanted him to do and praising God, Psalm 119 and verse 7, and keeping his statutes, Psalm 119 and verse 8. And the Bible, in talking about Daniel, as we turn to Daniel chapter 6, here's the way Daniel is described. It would be wonderful if all of us would fit this. We should, as Christians. He had an excellent spirit. Do you know people have excellent spirit? I would like to think that all of us as Christians have an excellent spirit. But Daniel did. We've mentioned a few things about him. Could mention many more. But it says in Daniel 6 and 1, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, So you got 120 of these rulers. And you got three that are on top of them. And Daniel is called first. And he says that the princes might give accounts unto them. I would understand from that that their primary mission, as we read about it here, was to make sure that all the taxes were paid and he got the money. And the Medes and the Persians were wealthy. If you study Daniel chapter 8, there was a prophecy about the Medes and the Persians. And the prophecy was that there was a ram. And this ram had two great horns. And one of the horns rose up later than the other horn. And what that was talking about, everybody that's ever studied it, the Persian Empire. At first, it was the Medes and the Persians. The Medes were smaller. And eventually, they just fell into oblivion pretty much and blended in, and it became known as the Persian Empire. And they ruled the world for over 200 years. We're talking about Iran. We're talking about the people in Iran. Don't you know they still have that mindset? They do, in my judgment. So Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. That kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? And it seems like they want to get our money, don't they? They getting your money when they tax you like they're getting my money. And then it says, then this Daniel was, I like this, was preferred above the presidents and princes. So he's preferred above like 122, these rulers. Because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. He couldn't have known him that long. I don't know what time period it was, but certainly it looks like it would be in his first year. But during this time period, and the point was, an excellent spirit was in him. This is what I think about when I think about just one scripture. You're going to find many. An excellent spirit is what Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I think Daniel was that kind of a person. He was a lovely person, a person with an excellent spirit. He was first. He was preferred above the others because of who he was. Well, this brings us to Daniel's work record. It's hard to have. I don't care who you are and what kind of job you have, and I don't care if you're a certified accountant. Everybody makes mistakes, but they couldn't find one with Daniel. They couldn't find him. In Daniel 6 and 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. And it's important that he just mentions the presidents and the princes. And they're looking for something, find occasion. Does that happen today? Huh? Does that happen today? Can people look to find an occasion concerning someone? Against Daniel, concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, brother, you know that they were looking hard. One time, sometimes I throw these things in. I hope you understand. I wasn't doing too good one time in Kentucky, and I was in a chemistry class. There were some reasons I had not been studying. I'll not go into it. I wasn't doing very good at all. I wasn't doing very good at all. I was sitting there in class. We had a test with math and chemistry, which was not my strength, though, usually. I never will forget that teacher came in there, and we were all sitting there. It was a major test, okay? And he says, you know, when I grade a paper, I look for a dot, I look for a comma, I look for a word, I look for anything that I can find, that I can find a mistake. He said, I cannot find a mistake on this paper. And when he called my name, I thought the class was going to pass out before me. Now, you know, they were looking like that. They were looking to find some fault. Brother, that was like one time, okay? One time, but I mean, that's a high point. But Daniel, not a single thing. Look, none occasion, nor fault, faithful, no error or fault was found in him. Now, what comes to my mind is Pilate. So many times when I'm reading about Daniel, you can't help but think about the Lord, can you? And the Lord, three times, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Now, the fault there was he had not done anything against the Roman law. They didn't care about the Jewish law. But he didn't realize Jesus didn't have any fault. We have faults, don't we? Everybody here has a fault. You got a wife, she got a fault. You got a husband, you got a fault. I think the wives got less, right? You got children, they got faults. You got grandchildren, everybody's got faults. The little children, they don't have faults. They can get make you tired, but they don't have faults. But Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. No sin, no fault in any way. Never thought an ugly thought. Never did a sinful deed in all of his life. That's what it took to save us. So our next point, Satan's plot and lying plan. I had to think about this, to word this. I'm not the fastest on it. But I had to think about this. How are you going to word this plot? I had to put this part in, and lying plan, because when Satan makes plots, he lies. You realize that he is a good liar. He's the father of it. So Satan, he makes these plots, and I want you to read, if you have your Bible, and I do want to encourage you to bring your Bible. But Daniel chapter 6 and verse 5 beginning, some of you read on your phone, that's fine. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So we're going to have to look somewhere else. We're going to see if we can trip him up with his religion. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and notice it's again presidents and princes, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. At first you might think that was kind of buttering him up, but that's the way they said it. Daniel said it later on. That was sort of like God save the queen, or God save the king, okay? That was the way they were addressed. Live forever. Well, we'd like the people to live forever, wouldn't we? But he was going to die. So it says, all the presidents of the kingdom. Now, this is what they're saying. The governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. They thought this was foolproof. It was a lie. You notice, I don't know whether you caught that. I'm sitting out there. I probably wouldn't catch it. But he said, all the presidents. I thought Daniel was, I thought Daniel was one of those three presidents. You think Daniel went along with this? And I'll be honest, I don't believe that all these counselors and captains and all of these people went along with this. I don't think they were even told. That's just my judgment. Because all of them were killed that were in the plot. So I don't think they're lying. It's a lying bunch. But we don't have liars today, right? When you watch the television this week and you watch some of these politicians, that's the way I'm going to word it. I don't know. That's kind of a broad word. There are good politicians. But when you watch some of these politicians, are there people still lying? Well, according to when they show them saying things, they are. So this was a lie. I have a book at the house It was given me by a man who's probably about this tall. He won a Silver Star in World War II for going across in front of a Japanese machine gun 3 times to save other people's lives. They all didn't live, but he tried. And he gave me, when he died, his widow said, "What would you like from him?" And he had told me about this book. I was going to bring it in this morning, but I can't remember offhand. I'll check it. How many years he had tried to find that book, and he had told me that on Daniel. And these critics, didn't have enough time to read the whole book, but these critics of the Bible and Daniel, here's what they say about this, if you know. They say, there's no king that stupid. There's no king that would do something that foolish, that stupid. Well, of course there are. Have you not done something stupid in your life? Huh? My brother Dwayne lives in Alabama. He is a Christian. And I quote this from time to time. I'm going to use this in the sermon. This is a quote from my brother. Everybody gets a case of the dummies every now and then. And kings can do stupid things when they didn't need to. They had no cause. They didn't need to. The Persians, who were so arrogant, had so much money, and over 1 million soldiers decide they're going to attack the Greeks. When it was all over with, the Greeks defeated them. It was in a step fashion, but they were so arrogant. In John 8:44, Jesus said to the Jews that were wicked, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So this was the devil's work. The devil's work. When you find lies, does it not astonish you that people that are voting for these individuals and they show all of these lies, it doesn't seem to bother them. It doesn't seem to have an impact on so many people. The reason is they don't have the values of God and God's word. They're not going to be worried about it and concerned. Our time is gone. We come down to this verse, which I have 3 or 4 times in this sermon. Proverbs 21:30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. That is just as true this morning as when Solomon wrote it down. There is no wisdom against God. They came up with this plan. It seemed to be foolproof. And when you read the book of Daniel, you'll notice on every occasion when they talk about this, and they go back later on for you that might miss tonight, and they would repeat this. Didn't you say this? Didn't you say this? And they said this. And this is, you'll find in every history book. Every history book. That the Medes and the Persians, when they made a law, you couldn't alter it. Do you know why? Because the Persian king was made by a god. And he was like a divinity. And it stands reason he's too smart to make a mistake. I'm telling you what it was. It was pure arrogance that these Persians, they said, our ruler is so smart, he can't make a mistake. And so everybody knew that now there's no change in this. No change in this. Foolproof. We got Daniel now. But they didn't have Daniel. God had Daniel. Does God have you? Do you have God? If you don't, I hope you will get serious. I hope you will get serious about being a Christian. If you believe in Jesus, that ought to be serious enough for his death on the cross and his blood to bring you to him. He said you had to come. There's a reason we have an invitation. I've visited some churches of Christ, they don't have an invitation. We have an invitation because there may be someone out there that would like to be baptized into Christ. And maybe you're willing to repent. You see that you need to change your life. You've not been living right. You can be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Do not be ashamed ever to confess your Lord. If you're an erring child of God, you don't have to go to bed at night wondering what's going to happen when the Lord comes back. You can be right in the sight of God. You come if you need to as we stand and as we sing.